Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel once again. So we're talking about the G7, the Group of Seven Summit, which started today in Hiroshima, Japan. So Hiroshima, of course, was the very first place attacked with a nuclear bomb in 1945, one of only two cities to suffer that terrible fate. And indeed, the Prime Minister of Japan, he's from there. Partly why nuclear non-proliferation is high up on the agenda. This city to host the G7 was not selected at random. He thinks it was carefully chosen. So the Group of Seven is the seven most advanced economies. Now, they exclude the microstates. It can't be like Luxembourg or Monaco or whatever, which are very, very wealthy, but very, very tiny. So it's the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, France, Italy, Germany, Japan. It used to be the G8, used to have Russia, but Russia was expelled for the illegal invasion of Ukraine in 2014, seizing the Crimean Peninsula. Anyway, so there's all sorts of rumors that, President Zelensky, the Ukraine, was going to attend. It was officially denied by Ukraine not to do anything with the oil and gas prices that might help Russia, ideally just to stop trading with Russia, and they're not trading to reduce it a little bit. Russia's able to evade sanctions via the United Arab Emirates, and so to remind them Russia is very cozy to Iran, which is an enemy of the Arab world, and so on. So Zelensky then flew on to Ukraine. The Prime Minister Narendra Modi of India is also at the G7 and indeed is the President of Brazil. So the G7 are discussing a new package of sanctions on Russia to really try and crush the Russian economy. Some sectors are suffering quite badly, but really they've not been as impactful as many people anticipated, including myself. Now, there are other things which are hurting Russia long term, and even when this war ends, it would not reverse, certainly not quickly. Like the brain drain, was it, 50,000 scientists leaving in the last 5 years? Obviously, bear in mind, for coronavirus, it's almost impossible to leave about 2 years. And 50,000 might not sound like much out of a population of 140 million, but they're really not that many people working in science. The younger, more ambitious people are more likely to want to go. It was just that 34% of Russian university students wish to emigrate. That's worrying, considering only about 50% of people go to university. But, the more educated they are, the more likely. It was at the Moscow School of Economics, one of the top ones in the Russian Federation. It was like over 60% wanted to go abroad. They won't all manage to go abroad. But, if even half of them do, that's still quite bad for a country which is desperate not to leave, to lose people, is hemorrhaging the sort of people it can least afford to lose. Anyway, so President Zelensky, he arrived in his trademark military fatigues. But the United States made a crucial announcement. My old university mucker, Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor, he had a hand in this. And no, I didn't get on the line to tell him to do so. But the United States is going to furnish, going to provide the Ukrainians with training on F-16 fighter jets. Now, I don't know anything about avionics, but apparently they're fantastic. They're decidedly different from the Soviet era models, MiGs and SUs and so on, but they're very tricky to use. Multiple different things are going on at the same time. Anyway, but faster, more maneuverable, greater range, everything. Obviously, Russia has denounced this. Surprise, surprise. Everything could be given to Ukraine is an escalation. They're continuing the war. They're constant atrocities. That's never escalatory. But helping a democracy defend itself from merciless barbarism is somehow escalatory. Anyway, it'll be risky. The Eurasian Times, which was really a China mouthpiece, saying it'll be risky to the West. Well, it won't really. I mean, risk what? I mean, perhaps one of them will be shot down. But no, Russia go to war against NATO? Come on, pull the other one. They can't defeat Ukraine. Then their Kinjal missiles, even those, could be shot down. Anyway, so Zelensky is there. It's yet another diplomatic coup for Ukraine and a diplomatic defeat from Russia. And there are not many doors that are open to Russia at the moment. It's really touch and go whether Putin's going to dare attend that BRICS summit in South Africa this August. So anyway, the Prime Minister of Japan is Fumio Kishida. He, of course, met Zelensky, met everybody else. So some good posing for photographs, laying a wreath, a peace park there in Hiroshima to remember over 100,000 Japanese civilians vaporized by that bomb, others who died of horrific injuries over the following few weeks. So they want to starve the Russian economy of resources, so it will no longer be able to fund its war machine. I mean, let's talk about diamonds, restricting diamonds, because Russia having the vastest land area, the odds are they're going to have the most minerals, and they do, including diamonds. The United Kingdom has banned the import of diamonds. looks like European Union is going to reduce it. They're not going to eliminate it. They offer Belgium is one of the biggest purchasers. Antwerp is a big center of the diamond trade. Russian gold being banned by the United Kingdom, not that it's an EU country, but with other Western countries severely restricted. You know, the UK not buying oil and gas from Russia at all. Other countries not doing so likewise. The price gap, can that gap be lowered? Is hurt Russia a lot already. And their budget deficit is like $145 billion in the first quarter of 2023. Regional budgets are down 5%. Bear in mind, they've been squeezed for several years already. Now, the Russian federal government might think it's actually a good thing because it makes people even more desperate and even more likely to volunteer for the military, particularly in poverty-stricken remote regions, particularly inhabited by ethnic minority people. Right, a question by the look like a neoconservative. Well, I kind of am one. You think that Russia is going to win? I mean, Russia could still win just by waiting it out. Yeah. So you think Tokayev will withdraw from the CSTO? I don't think he will, actually. I haven't seen any sign of that. He's not been particularly supportive, but I have not noticed any indication of that. Russia could wait it out and just has the sheer numbers if they're willing to lose as many more people. I mean, you know, even Yevgeny Prigozhin said they lost 5-1 in Bakhmut, but they outnumber the Ukrainians 3.5-1. It depends how many people they're willing to expend, particularly if they recruit people from Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, and so on. And interestingly, Kyrgyzstan just gave someone a 10-year sentence for fighting for Russia in Ukraine. I'm surprised they do that. I thought they'd be largely just rhetoric. Give them a slap on the wrist, if anything, because really they want the money. They're suffering. They're economically suffering. The unemployment is high. They've had a few terrible years, COVID, and now this, because their economy is aligned with that of Russia, is impacting them. And they're, you know, in terms of hiring and firing, these Central Asian guest workers in Russia, they're last in, first out. Anyway, so it's also sent a potent message to Beijing. You know, this is what we're doing about Ukraine. We'll do something similar about Taiwan. But you've got to remember that everybody has recognized, just about everybody has recognized, Taiwan is Chinese sovereign territory. So you're not comparing like with like. And obviously, China is more important economically than Russia is, as a very large military. But then again, it's untested. It's not actually fought since 1979. How are they gonna do this? Right. See, Kazakhstan could be seen as Russian soil. Well, okay, but it's not Russian soil now. Everybody, including Russia, recognizes it as a sovereign state, has absolute right to independence. But you're right. Putin has said this sort of thing that it's not no history of statehood and so on. Well, it actually does have a history of statehood long before it was invaded by Russia. Nomadic Turkic tribes, so what? I mean, doesn't mean that they're not a nation now. I mean, nomads, they can have civilization of a kind. Is civilization not a nation? Anyway, that is the G7 summit, and it's going to go on till Sunday. But the Chinese are not happy with some of the statements being made there, saying that it's smearing China, which, of course, is pushing them closer to Russia. Thanks for watching the channel. Goodbye.